Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Along with what James was saying, in the midst of the many trials in our world, in our life, we need to take hope and remember Psalms 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. He has done great things, and he is still doing great things. As Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. He is our freedom. He is our hope. There's no other king like him. He's here to heal. He's here to break the chains. He has all authority. His name is Jesus. Amen. The King is in the room.
Thank you. There's never been a king like this.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19, 1 Kings 19, 19. I'm wondering if there's anyone in here who may feel a little spiritually stagnant. Maybe you're at a place where you genuinely have this desire for more impact or more growth. You want to be used by God, but you also seem to be stuck a little. We're going to look at the prophet Elisha, a guy probably in his 20s that was just literally plowing through life. That was his job. A guy working every day at the family farm. But little did he know, God had another plan for his life. And that guy would be used mightily for him in different ways. And I believe that God has a mantle, a calling with every one of your names on it. It might not be prophet or pastor, but I believe God has a spiritual assignment that is bigger than whatever field you find yourself standing in. I believe that, like I said, for every single person in here. But I also know that many will miss it because we're people who love to stay in comfortable places. We're people who just love to keep plowing ahead. Day after day, year after year, decade after decade. I pray that we have ears to hear this morning. Would you stand in honor of God's word? 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that above all other voices today, we hear you. Not what a guy says behind the pulpit, but what you say through your word, through your spirit. Would you speak to us? Would you speak to each and every heart that is here today? Would you call us? Would you remind us of your great love? Would you remind us that we were created with a purpose, that you have a plan for our life, no matter where we're at right now? Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We don't know who wrote the book of Kings. What we do know is written at a critical time in the history of Israel, a time when people were ignoring God, living for themselves, and worshiping anything but God. If that doesn't sound familiar, I don't know what does. What does God do in these critical times? I believe God calls people to stand up and proclaim his truth with grace. I believe he calls spiritual leaders to rise up and call people to turn from their selfish ways. We see Elisha leave his job, but God might be calling you to that very mission field that you're at right now, where you stand. What do I mean? Young people, God might be calling you to your schools to be a light there, right? To proclaim his truth, to stand for that. Maybe he's calling somebody else to be a leader or a witness at their workplace or to their culture. If you have kids, if you have grandkids, I know he's calling you to be a spiritual leader to your family. Whenever times are critical, God calls people to lead, to stand up. The first prophet God raised up during this time was this prophet named Elijah. Elijah stood boldly against the government, against a wicked king and queen. He called them out and they tried to kill him. They sought to kill him. He also stood against the culture. He literally stood against 450 prophets of Baal. And if you remember, fire came down from heaven. At the end of Elijah's life, God used him to call Elisha to continue the work. And I believe some of us are in a season of mourning, but I also believe that God is calling us to take up the mantle for the next generation. We're seeing God move in young people like we've never seen before. We're seeing it in football, right? With teams like Ohio State and every other. There's so many other teams that they're getting. We're seeing with our local teams. We're seeing God stir hearts. And it's encouraging. I want to tell you this. You want to know if God's real? Seek him. And listen. Listen. Because he will speak directly to you. He will impress things upon your heart. But you have to have some quiet time to hear it. And in our culture, that's extremely difficult because there are so many voices screaming at us. Make room, and I guarantee you, he will speak to you. 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. So here is this man. He's plowing the field, right? Notice this is not somebody trained to be a religious leader, is he? Right? He hasn't gone through religious schooling. He's just a blue-collar farmer. He would probably be the last person in the world that we would think God would call to be a prophet, to speak for him. He's the son of this rancher named Shaphat. We don't know much about him, but we can see his family has wealth. And that's important to understand. If you had one pair of oxen, you could make a good living back in this time frame. If you had 12 pair, you obviously had a big spread, and you would have been wealthy. But even though there is wealth, what is Elisha doing? He's plowing the field. He's not spoiled, right? He's working. Day after day, this guy gets up and gets behind the plow. Morning to evening, his view is the back end of a pair of oxen. He's not even leading the teams, right? That means he's at the back of the seniority line. He is the least of all of those people. He's at the rear. And if you can imagine being at the rear, not only do you have that view, right? But you also have all that dust constantly coming in your face from the people ahead of you. He would have been eating that. It would have been filling his mouth. Day after day, he's eating dust and looking at back ends. Is that you right now? Do you feel kind of like that's you? Day after day, working a line, staring at a conveyor belt, you go home, right? You sleep, you eat, you come back, and you're doing the same thing. Or are you staring at a pantry, trying to figure out what in the world am I going to make for this meal? Are you staring at a diaper that needs to be changed? I went to work on Monday and got a phone call, and somebody ripped my head off for 10 minutes. One of the other guys had sent them, the other guy that works in my office is the code enforcement officer. It's like the second most hated position in the city. He sends people letters telling them to cut their grass, you know, and those things. He was on vacation. So I got to speak to this person or be spoken to and be lectured for a good 10 minutes. I've been punching a clock at the city for 27 years. It's easy to lose your passion when you're eating dust and staring at butts. It's easy to wonder, what am I doing here? Where's my spiritual calling? Right? I love the fact that Elisha is driving the 12th team of oxen. Don't miss that, right? Elijah walks past the first, the person of seniority, right? The person that we would have probably all thought that he would go to. He walks past the first. He walks past the second, the third, the fourth, the tenth, the 11th, until he gets to the least. And that's the guy that God calls. Have we ever seen that before? When choosing a king, right? God chose the runt of the litter. David's family didn't even ask him to show up because they knew it wouldn't be him. And yet it was, right? 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him.'" We consider appearance and height, don't we? The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What we see time and time in the Bible is God often chooses the least likely, the last person we would think he would choose to do his work. That shouldn't surprise us because Jesus taught us that the least will be the greatest, right? He taught us that the last shall be first. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came down from heaven and did not consider heaven something to be held on to, but he made himself a servant, right? That's the example that our Lord set for us. When I was in high school, this would have been great news for me if I would have realized it, because I was usually the last one to be picked for those sports teams. I can laugh at it now, but that was torture back then, just knowing you are going to have to wait and maybe you'll get picked. I pray you hear this. If you feel stuck, if you feel like you're at the back of the line, if you feel overlooked, if you feel left out, if you want to know if God sees you, if you want to know if God values you, heck yeah, he does. He does, and he's calling you. God saw this young man. God saw a prophet, somebody who would stand and declare his truth. Man, would you wonder with me, what does God see in you? I imagine, I can pretty much guarantee, it's more than you see in yourself. You're reminded of your failures. You're reminded of the labels you've been given. You're reminded that preachers call you whatever. But God has a name for you. God has a calling for you. Each and every one of you. God has created you. He knew you before you were born. And the word tells us that he had a purpose in mind when creating you. That's why we fight back against things like evolution. That says you're just here by random chance. You have no worth. You have no purpose. No, you have a purpose. You were created by the King of Kings, the one who spoke a billion stars into existence. That's the one who made you, right? And you need to grasp that. You need to keep that in mind. Let me tell you something. God is not looking for the best. He's not looking for the tallest. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. That's what he's looking for. Availability. He's looking for somebody that will say, "Yes, I will go. Yes, here I am. Send me." Right? Elijah went up to Elisha and threw his cloak around him. This whole situation seems odd, but that cloak represented spiritual authority and anointing. I didn't even notice this till this morning when I was going over this and reading. He throws the cloak over this Elijah, and he just keeps going, right? No conversation. Here you go, right? And Elisha has to run to catch up to him. That just seems a little different to me. But this is a mantle. This is a calling. Hey, Elisha, you're next, right? God has chosen you. And now comes the point where Elisha has a choice to make. It's a hard choice, right? It's hard because, yeah, he's just plowing the field, but he has a bright future. His family's wealthy. He's going to inherit at least a portion of that one day. He has a choice. He can stay in what's comfortable, what's known, what's safe, or he can move into the unknown and risk it all. It is a risk to him. He sees it that way, right? Here's the thing, though. We all take risks, don't we? Every single day you take a risk. The problem is we take the risk in the wrong place. At least I do. How many of us risk our integrity by cutting corners at work? We risk our marriages with secret addictions. We take a risk by overextending ourselves financially and purchasing things that we don't need. We all take risks, but when it comes to our faith, we play it safe. Right? Don't we? God prompts, give that away. The Lord's been speaking to me about giving something away, and I've been talking myself out of it. Right? That's a risk. God prompts us to stand up for truth in our culture, but boy, that's a risk, right? You're going to get a label. God prompts us to share our faith. Do we do it? Or do we play it safe? Greg Groeschel says we get risk backwards. He says we risk what we should protect, and we protect what we should risk. Can I say that again? We risk what we should protect, and we protect what we should risk. Elisha could stay and be comfortable doing what he knows, knowing exactly what his future is, right? His future is filled with a lot of money, or he could take a risk. If you know the Bible, Elijah was a little bit crazy. All religious people are, I'm confident of that, including myself. So make no mistake, this was a risk. Verse 20, Elijah then left his oxen and ran with Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Notice what Elijah didn't do. He didn't stall. I stall. I make excuses. I say, let me pray about it. Let me finish plowing today, and then I'll give you an answer. No, he left the oxen right where they were and literally ran after God, right? Ran after that calling. I feel like I need to grow in this because when God prompts me, there is often a bit of a delay. Well, you know, you can't rush into things. It's not wrong to pray and seek God out, you know, absolutely. But when the Holy Spirit prompts you and you know it's the Holy Spirit, it's wrong to delay. You can't delay. You have to go, right? I tend to take time and try to rationalize things, and all time does is just give me opportunities to talk myself out of doing whatever he's calling me to do. The gauge of spiritual maturity is how fast we do what he calls us to do. It's not how much scripture you know, that's great. It's better how much scripture you're actually following and doing, right? But it is, are you doing what God's calling you to do when he calls you to do it, right? Do you do it? Do you do it quickly? The Lord tells you to reach out to them. Do we do that? The Lord says, give this. Do we do that? Or do I give myself time? Elisha honors his parents and then says five words. I will come with you. If you want to be used by God, here's the phrase that you need to know. If you want to get unstuck, here's the five words that you must say. Listen, my friends, Jesus is calling. He's calling. You might not be listening. I might not be listening, but he's calling. He's saying to us, follow me, right? Make no mistake. This is what he says to us, and either we respond with yes or no. There's no other response to give. What does following him sound like? It might sound like, stop hanging around with that person that's leading you away from me. It might sound like stop dating that person that does not know me. Follow me might sound like confess your sins to each other so that you can be healed and set free. It might sound like don't watch that show. It might sound like give your time. It might sound like forgive that person. It might sound like stand up for truth. Speak that truth. That is what follow me may sound like. And you and I have a choice. Keep plowing the field, right? Staring at the rear end, or go where he calls us to go. What I don't like is he doesn't give us details, right? God calls us but rarely gives us details. Elisha is probably wondering here, okay, where are we going? Where are we going to be living? What exactly are we going to be doing? How much does it pay, right? How are we going to eat? I don't think anything's explained to him. And I think we just need to realize that we don't have to have all the details in order to follow God, in order to say yes to him and his calling. I honestly think that if we had the details, we'd say no. If you told me what I thought was being a pastor compared to what is being a pastor is totally different. And if I knew what it was, I don't know if I would have went. God wants to get us to a place where we just learn to trust him. If we don't know where we're going, it's going to put us in a place where we have to rely on him, have to trust him. And that's the place that we need in order to be in a place to follow him. No details, just trust me and go. This is part of the cost of following Jesus. You have to be willing to leave what's comfortable and what's known. When Jesus was calling people to be his disciples and to follow after them, right? He would tell them ahead of time, hey, count the cost. You gotta see that, right? Listen, Brent said this, salvation is free, but there's always a cost to follow him. Salvation is free, right? But then there's a call. And to follow him will cost you everything, right? What's the cost? Matthew 16:24. And then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow me. That's the cost. Picking up the cross is you saying, I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to die to what I want. I'm going to die to my plans, to my ideas, and I'm going to live for what you call me to live for, the direction that you call me to live in. That's exactly what Elisha does. You want a picture of it? Verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become a servant. Elijah sacrificed the cows and burned the plow, right? He took the very things that represented his security, and he burned them. Where's your security? Where do you place your trust? Bank account? Oh, I feel pretty secure as long as I have this much in the bank account, right? Where's this security? What if God asks you to give it up? Whatever that is, right? The things that we're not willing to give up, the things that we're looking to for security, those are idols. That's where we place our trust. That's where we place our hope. And God calls us to lay those things down. Are you and I willing to sacrifice in order to go all in, right? That's what giving is. It's God asking you to sacrifice your security. When you give to God first, you have to trust him for the rest of it. It's hard for people, right? Unless you grow up with it, it's hard to start doing that, but it grows our faith and grows our trust in God. Elisha sacrifices the oxen and burns the plow. There's no turning back. He's committed. He's all in. He couldn't turn back if he wanted to, right? And here's the principle that we need to learn. You can't hold the plow and the mantle at the same time. You can't hold the plow and the mantle at the same time. I tried to do that. You cannot obey God and also try to live for the world at the same time. This is what Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But that's exactly what we try to do, isn't it? You have one foot in the things of God, and you try to keep one things in the world. One foot in the calling of God, and one foot in comfort and security. That is a frustrating, miserable place to live. And that's why most people just keep on plowing. It's comfort. It's safety. The unknown is scary. Will you wrestle with a question? This question could flip your life upside down. What plow do you need to burn in order to fully follow Jesus? What plow are you holding onto in your life that is preventing you from going all in with Jesus Christ? Is it comfort? What is it? What do you need to eliminate? What do you need to get out of your life so that you can fully follow Jesus? Because for some of you, there's something holding you back. You're in, but you're also hanging on to something that prevents you from going all in. You want to follow Jesus, but you also really don't want to let go of this. What's that thing? I have had many plows. I'm sure I will have plows in the future. One plow was a dream. I had a dream of being a famous YouTuber. I started a YouTube channel. I would upload video game clips, and I would talk about my faith. It probably looked like I was following God. I probably thought I was following God, but I had one foot in this world and one foot trying to follow him. That channel, you can ask my wife, consumed me. I put it before my family. I put it before God. I got 50,000 subscribers. I witnessed to people. I saw people accept Christ through it. But you know what? It was really about me. It was my hoping for security through wealth. It was me looking for to be recognized, right? I became obsessed with views and likes. I wasn't spiritually ready for that. And I compromised so many things for it. God had a different path for me, a path where he called me to lay down that dream. What hobby consumes you? What hobby gets in the way of you following God? What do you need to burn? I had a CD collection filled with music that led me away from God. AC/DC, Metallica, Nickelback, Stained. God literally told me to burn it, and I did. Are you supporting music that leads people away from Christ? Do you want to support that? Well, man, I really like that. I don't want to give it up. That's going to be your answer to anything that he calls you to give up. And what you have to realize is that whatever God calls you to lay down, he has something far more better for you. I got Skillet now, right? I've got praise and worship music, and I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't trade them for anything. I don't miss that other stuff. YouTube channel, I almost missed on my kids and my wife. I treated my kids so bad. I ignored them. I put them in the rear, right? I almost missed out on that. I have a lot of regrets from those days. What are you hanging on to that is preventing you from going all in with Jesus Christ? I heard about a guy who wanted to go all in, but he continued to struggle with porn. He was accessing it through his phone. That's how he continually went back to it. That guy got rid of his phone and went to a flip phone. He burned the card. What do you need to burn? James, I want to go all in, but I don't even know where to start. It starts easy. It starts by being in the Word and listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's easy. It's easy to hear it if you'll make room, if you'll make time. There's Bibles in the back. I want you to grab one if you don't have one, right? And let me tell you something. It's usually small things. It's usually not quit your job and become a prophet of God, right? It's usually go talk to that person that's hurting. Go do something. Go make a meal for somebody. Go serve in the nursery. It's usually small things that have huge impacts. It's usually scary, though, because it takes you out of your comfort zone. Pray for somebody right here, Lord, at my workplace? Oh, man, people are think I'm a Jesus freak, right? Go talk to them, tell them about me. Stand and proclaim the truth on social media? Ooh, it's scary. Can I give you one practical thing to do? There was a guy who struggled with rejection all the time. He had this big moment in elementary school that he talked about, and this moment kind of set his path until he was in his 20s. He was always scared of being rejected, so he just wouldn't put himself out there. But he came to this point where he just realized, hey, I'm stuck here. I'm stuck worrying constantly about a rejection, and I'm missing out on so many things. And so he told himself, hey, I got to get rejection proof. So he did what we all do, or a lot of us do. He went to Google, and he typed in, how do I get rejection proof? And he found this place called rejectiontherapy.com. So he signed up for it, and a strategy that it gave him was to purposely every day put himself out there for failure. Purposely set yourself up for failure every day. So day one was ask a stranger for $100. Day two was ask for a refill on a burger. Day three was take a nap in a mattress store. He did it, and he kept doing it. Day after day, and after many days, what he found out was the more he failed, the more he learned how to accept it and just embrace it, right? And he eventually wasn't worried about it anymore. He found out it was okay to fail. What if we did that? What if every day we listened for the promptings of the Holy Spirit and just did it? Go pray for that person. Do this for that person. Give to this. Get in your Bible. Whatever it was, right? Go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Go tell your friend about what Christ has done in your life. What if you failed miserably, right? But what if it was okay? What if you learned that it was okay to fail? That it was okay to be rejected? Jesus Christ was rejected, right? We're scared of that. But we need to put ourselves out there, right? Ask any guy, it's hard to ask a girl out the first time. You get rejected 5 times in a row, it gets a little bit easier to do it, right? It's the same way with following Christ. You just do it, whether you get rejected or not, because it's what he calls you to do. Will you stand with me? What if you did something risky like that? What if you just did whatever the Holy Spirit prompted you to do? What if you crash and burn? Nah, it's okay. Do you feel spiritually stuck? This is your way out, right? Follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Remember, God often chooses the one at the back of the line The person that we would think would be the last person he would choose. If you feel like that person, man, you're in good company. Everyone sees the ordinary, but maybe God sees a person who will say yes to him. God has a mantle, a calling for your life. That's what the word tells us, a purpose for your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. How do you find it? You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You jump in. You jump in the pool. And if it's not the right place, you move in that pool to a different place. Where is God calling you to? Who's your one? That's our emphasis this year, right? Who's your one? Who is that one that you're so desperate that they come to know Jesus Christ, that you're willing to speak the truth to them, that you're willing to share the gospel with them? Are you doing that? Or is that done already? Are you praying for that? Are you asking God for boldness? Are you listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Let it go. Grip it and rip it, right? Go with it. Wherever he calls you, no matter how silly or stupid or rejected you will be, no matter what label they give you, they can never replace the label that God will give you as child of God, as son and daughter of God. Man, remember that you can't hold on to the plow and hold the mantle at the same time. What is he calling you to let go? What is he calling you to burn? Maybe it's something literally. Maybe it's just something that you gotta drop. Let go of it. He's got something that will replace it and be far better for you. Who's God calling you to? Where is God calling you? Be a light wherever you're at. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, would you do a work in us? We are fearful people, but we were not given a spirit of fear. Father, would you help us to embrace the boldness that comes from you? Holy Spirit, would you fall on us? Would you fill us? Would you help us to stand and proclaim your truth? Would you help us to do it with grace? Father, would you help us to remember how Jesus treated a woman caught in adultery? Would you remind us of those words? I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Father, make us a church of grace and truth. Put people on our hearts, Lord. Father, may we be people that leave room to hear from you. May we be people that listen to you. May we be people of prayer that enter into a conversation with you, not in the hopes of giving you something or asking for something, but instead of hearing from you. May we just sit in times of silence, reading your word and asking you to speak to us. Father, would you call this younger generation to rise up, to speak truth? Would you call us as well? Would you put people into our path? Father, may we bring glory to your name and your name alone. Lord, if there's something that we need to lay down this morning, would you help us to make a decision? Would you give us peace? Would you remind us that you have far better things for us than anything that we could lay down? Lord, would we trust you in that? Even when it seems like that's the opposite of what would happen, even when we think this is the best thing, the thing that we have to have, would you help us to just lay these things down in faith and trust you? Father, we love you and we praise you and we give you all glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.